everybody. Welcome to another episode of I'm Fine. We're in season two. Today we have with us a lovely guest, Miss Avanti Nagral, who's a content creator, music artist, and a social media influencer, of course. She has been to Harvard and Berklee School of Music, and I'm absolutely a fan of hers and her new release, that is Baate, which is super amazing. I mean, right before this call, we were listening to it, and Ishani and I, we were like, I'm in love with it. It's so nice because it's so free flowing and it has an explorative side to it when you're still discovering, you're still figuring things out. So that's really cool. So welcome to the podcast, and we're really happy to have you.
Thank you, and thank you for the very kind introduction. I'm very excited to be here. Also, you have a beautiful smile.
Thank you. I mean, I think I took it from my dad. It's like the genetics playing its role. It's not me. But then, yes, I'll let him know that a pretty lady gave him a compliment.
Perfect. Tell Uncle his smile is great.
Yes. Oh, I'll tell him that a pretty lady gave him a compliment. If I call him Uncle, then he'll be like, maybe not.
Fair.
Yes, so diving right into it, so I'm pretty sure when you're recording a music, like as a songwriter, as a composer, you must be going through like a therapeutic process yourself in terms of, you know, figuring things out for yourself and for the audience and getting like a hang of it. So what was that like for you? What was the therapeutic value of creating, let's say, music for you?
Music has always held that space for me in the form of catharsis. To be honest, it's a medium that has always gotten me through a lot in life. I grew up with a lot of physical health difficulties, and I remember one incident in particular where this was right before my 10th grade prelim, like to the board exams. Essentially, I had lost my vision temporarily because of a brain virus. And it was very scary, very hectic. I was in the hospital for a few weeks and I came back. It hadn't just affected my vision, it also affected a little bit of my memory because it was a brain virus at the end of the day. And as somebody who, you know, prided herself in being a good student, I was like obsessively trying to do math because I couldn't remember history. I couldn't remember, you know, a lot of the memory-based things. And I couldn't do it and I broke down because I felt like a part of my identity had been taken away. But I think the thing that genuinely got me through that whole period was music. It was the thing that I remembered. It was the thing that I knew. It was the thing that I came back to. And so, you know, kind of from then on, I was pretty sure that I always wanted it to be a part of my life. I didn't know in what capacity, but I knew that it had this healing power. And I had seen that in my life, and I knew that that had potential in other people's lives too. In fact, when I was in high school, health has always been really important to me. And you know, I've had family members, friends, et cetera, whose parents have had cancer or people I know. And so growing up, it was a cause very close to my heart, and I would donate my hair, do a bunch of things. And I think the older I got, I realized that beyond your personal donation, you can also give of your time and give of yourself. So there was a hospital close to where I live, where I used to just go and hang out in the pediatric oncology ward, and we would just play music. And it was incredible to see the joy that that can bring, right? And I think, you know, especially when it comes to chronic pain or a chronic condition like that, music has such healing power. You know, flash forward to when I was in college, I volunteered with this group where we would perform music in nursing homes and hospitals. And, you know, I really saw that power. And so all of that is kind of been the foundation of what music has meant in my life. And as a songwriter, it becomes this form of release and catharsis for myself in terms of things that I'm dealing with and my own life and stories. And also for things that I'm trying to work through and I want to express, right? I remember I have a couple songs, for example, I have a song called Suntolo, which is about mental health, or I have a song called Permission, which is about consent. And it was actually a very fun exercise to write those songs because those are things I talk about pretty often, but I sometimes, you know, talking can come across as preachy, but when you listen to something in the form of a song, you're just experiencing it in that medium. So that was a fairly long answer to your short question, but long story short, it's been this medium, this vehicle, this tool of catharsis for as long as I can remember.
I love that. I love the answer, and I'm so sorry that you went through the brain virus thing. I mean, I get it. I totally get it, because back until 8th, I was not someone who was very studious. And then my dad was like, Stephanie, 10th is going to define you. And I was like, okay, I got to get studying. And then even it was just a difficult time. And luckily through my graduation, that was COVID, there was no pressure from home. They were like, you can perform the way you want. There's no pressure on you to, you know, study or do things a particular way because people around us were going through something more severe. So it was, that was nice. I mean, it was more chill when it came to studying and graduation, but 10th was difficult, Mr. Grave. So when you talk about emotions and when you talk about, you know, going through a particular phase, do you have like a particular song or, you know, let's say from you as an artist or someone from someone else whom you relate to the most, like, hey, when I'm going through, let's say a low period, I have a playlist for myself, which includes most of Taylor Swift's songs. So do you have something like that, which helps you get through those phases while you write music or, you know, while you're going through that phase, while that emotive phase of figuring things out?
Yeah, for sure. I never used to be a playlist person, actually, because I would listen to songs just in isolation. But about a year and a half ago, I had a breakup and, you know, of a 6-year long relationship. And I think to process that, I needed multiple mediums. And music became, I would say, my best friend at the time, because I was feeling all sorts of emotions. And I remember actually Googling feeling upset and angsty about blah, 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 blah. And like specific songs would show up. So I have a heartbreak playlist, which is really funny because recently a couple of folks I know, unfortunately, are going through long-term breakups as well. And I was like, would songs help? And they're like, yes. So I've sent them screenshots of my playlist. And I was like, I'm warning you, some of these are hyper specific to my situation, but whatever it is, you know, take what you will. Yeah, I remember one song in particular from that list. In fact, yesterday I was doing I've restarted training in dance because I want to get, you know, more comfortable in my body. And that's something that I had a lot of body image issues for a long time. And so it's a nice form of trying to connect with that part of myself. And anyway, we were doing this form of interpretation as an exercise yesterday. And my trainer played the song To Build a Home by Cinematic Orchestra, which if you haven't heard, oh my God, that I was sobbing while dancing. And, you know, it was one of the songs on my playlist, but there's just something, you know, sometimes it's not even about the lyrics. It's not even about the melody in isolation. It's just a feeling and an emotion that something evokes in you. And I think that's the most powerful thing about music and art in general is that emotive feeling. You know, similarly after that life event, I wrote a song, which on my catalog is called Give Up. And writing that was super cathartic. Filming the music video was even more cathartic. And it really just helped me release the emotions I was feeling, you know?
Yes, totally. I mean, I don't remember going through a breakup because my dad has been super strict all my life. But then I have these phases of, you know, not being in a very nice mood. And I feel I listen to Taylor Swift most of the time. And when I listen to her, I'm in that phase and then I get out. And later on, whenever it just plays on shuffle, I'm like, oh, I was feeling really shitty back then, but today I feel better. Today I feel really nice. But I remember that experience, that feeling of being in that phase, that hurt. So I do get it way many
times. It's crazy because that same song, I don't think I've heard the song that I mentioned To Build a Home before, but actually the place I was doing the training was actually the place we shot the music video. So I think my body viscerally remembered that feeling and I started sobbing and I was like, oh my God. But, you know, the people say there is muscle memory, there is emotional, like your body holds emotions. It's so true.
Yes, truth. I mean, I'm so glad that you got to do that for yourself. And then, you know, you have like this phase of going through it and then you're over it. You seem a little more smiley today. I'm just going to assume that today's a good day as compared to other days.
I think every part of every day can be good or bad. It's how you look at it. But yes.
Sure, yes. I think maintaining a checklist about all the good days is always a good idea, wherein, you know, you just get to see, oh, I've had like 18 good days and 12 bad days, maybe. So 18 over 12, so good month. Yes. So how has self-care sort of played a role in this journey of, let's say, music that you've been through? Like you mentioned that you've been through healthcare issues and now you're better, but then how do you look after yourself these days while creating music? Because it can be really stressful when you're, you know, when you have competition around and when people are just getting musically, let's say a genre or let's say songs out, one after the other, and then you're here still trying to, you know, make something and struggle through the composition bit of it. And I mean, most of us just lose ourselves in the process. We're like, you know what, it's not happening, or whenever it'll happen, I'll feel better. So do you like do self-care when you're going through the process of making music or song?
I think self-care is whatever makes you feel at ease, lighthearted, cathartic, whatever that is for you, right? And for me, actually, honestly, that's people. I'm pretty extroverted, and spending time with people really gives me that sense of joy and release. Because it's funny, a lot of my profession, all the aspects of that you mentioned, do require being with people, but they require me being with people in a way that I have to feel on, right? When I'm on stage, when I'm speaking somewhere, when I'm shooting, when, you know, we're doing a partnership, I'm constantly on. And I feel that way sometimes even walking around in public places, right? Because when you are in the public space, so to speak, there are people who know who you are. And so it's this strange feeling of feeling on. So I think my self-care comprises two things. One is trying to find moments where I don't feel on. So either that's with people for whom I can completely take my mask off. And not that I really walk around with one, but there's a difference between you being able to be completely bleh, you know what I mean? And the second is whenever I'm doing something that requires that deep introspection, because I know I'll get in my head about it, I actually love collaborating. So in fact, over the last couple years, I would say majority of the music that I've written has been collaborative. I still have a very strong compass of what I want it to be about. I'll often write melodies, lyrics, but I like bouncing them off of other people and having that collaborative energy, because then I think it's also gives me the ability to be a little bit more objective and out of my head. And it, you know, kind of like you were saying, the frustration of not being able to work through that. I think because I make it more of a fun activity, it becomes exciting in that way, you know. And I love collaboration in general, and I try to do it across all sorts of things that I do, because I just think it's also a great way to learn. I do think, however, when you're constantly on and around people and all of that, it's also important to take a step back, because it's really easy to lead to burnout. So one thing I'm working on is trying to create more spaces just for myself, which has been difficult, but I'm working on it, because I know if I don't, then it will. I have been on the brink of burnout many a time, and it's not a great place to be.
Yeah, makes sense. Truth. I mean, while you were just saying, I was like, okay, yes, makes sense. Truth. I can feel it. But yeah, so true. So when you talk about, let's say, people, you know, that people give you energy and you always have to be on when you're on stage, because you can't have like a grumpy mood when you're in front of people, or let's say an audience who are here to see you and who are here to see perform and who've listened to most of your nice songs, and they're like, oh, I know this version of Avanti, and now they should see the same version on the stage. So how does, let's say, trolling, or let's say feedbacks, positive, negative, compliments, comments, how do they impact you as a person, and how do they impact your musical journey?
I think that it's a part of the process, right? You're going to get feedback. I do think there's a difference between constructive criticism and just hate for the sake of it. And the anonymity that the internet has provided a lot of people means they spew out a lot of hate, but often it's in the form of their own insecurity, right? And it's hard, because I, you know, in addition to music, I use my voice in many other mediums. And so we'll talk about things like, say, sex ed or mental health, or certain topics that often we don't talk about as much. Or even I've been vulnerable with my own emotions and journeys, right? And a lot of people are not comfortable in their own selves to be vulnerable in that way. So they're projecting their own insecurities onto you. And it can be hard. I think, honestly, the hardest part is when people try to project it when you're being vulnerable with your emotions. Everything else, like, let's say someone says something hateful about me talking about, say, sex, right? Or even about my song, saying, oh, voice. The biggest hate comment that people will leave on any artists, they're like, auto-tune. Firstly, you have to understand what that means. Most people don't know what it means. And it's funny, because there have been videos where I'm literally just, it's my phone. People are like, auto-tune max. And I was like, you know what, actually, and I was very confused. And then a friend of mine who's an artist, and he's heard me record before, he's like, I get it now. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, you have trained your voice in such a way that your changing of registers is very seamless. And for a lot of people, that feels, that they're used to hearing that in a way that feels more, I guess, edited. So I was like, wow. So because I've trained, they're, you know, making that assumption, fine. But, you know, none of those things bother me, because often it's just people wanting attention too. I think the things that are just hard to deal with is when, you know, people will project their own insecurities when you are also being vulnerable. And if you're in that headspace already, then it just amplifies that. I think, the, you know, as you were saying, this feeling of oneness that I was talking about earlier, one of the things I try really hard to do is try to keep what people see very similar to what I'm like in real life, which is why I don't have a stage name. You know, a lot of artists choose to have a stage name. You'll see me wear all sorts of things because I kind of wanted to be the same person on stage and off stage. And that comes with its pros and cons. I would say the pros are when people, you know, when I'm walking around somewhere, let's say I'm at a mall and someone comes up, they usually feel this deeper sense of connection. So they'll feel comfortable sharing a lot of things about their life. Or, you know, it won't be like, hey, selfie, peace. It'll be a 5-minute conversation, which is beautiful. I love connecting in that way. And it also, the flip side of that is people feel very comfortable sharing a lot of stuff. So it's like, where is the boundary, you know? Or they'll assume you're approachable because that's hopefully the vibe. And so they, you know, it comes with both. And I think both are difficult, right? The intense hate and also the intense idolization, right? When somebody, let's say they connect with somebody on the internet and they kind of support and follow a lot of what they do. Sometimes they get so invested that they'll idolize the person. And, you know, there've been people who said like, oh my God, you are like God to me. And I'm like, oh my God, nobody should be like God to you.
True. I mean, I feel the concept of God in itself is very diplomatic. If someone is to give a comment about it, so idolizing people who you know are not gods, making them a god is like a whole different story. But I feel when it comes to artists, it's somewhat true because you just relate to them so much, you love them so much, you see yourself in them so much when you listen to their voice, and most of us have some sort of connection, you know, like, yeah, we already mentioned. So maybe I think it's the feeling of you being in that space that they're relating to as a godly feeling or godly space rather than you as a person.
No, I'm again, I'm super grateful. I just think it's dangerous on either extreme, you know?
True. Yes, makes sense. So when you, let's say, make music, do you sort of have like a phase when you go through, when you feel that you're facing some sort of difficulties when it comes to creative blocks? You know, when you've made music and you've got, like, let's say, a lot of popularity for it already, but then there's, as much as popularity exists, there is pressure for you to create like the next one. You know, it's like, oh, you've done this, yes, what about the next one? How better is that going to be from this one? What improvisations are you going to make? So do you think that there is maybe like a creative block that you face while composing music or writing music? Like, oh, I have to do better, or what if I don't do better? What am, do you think of the consequences while you make music, or what does the phase look like?
Yes and no. I think creative block is a very interesting space, right? Because everybody goes through it, whether you're a creative or not. And a lot of people will just sit and be like, I'm blocked. The biggest way to get out of a creative block of any kind is to do something else. Because the second you do something else, you'll start to find inspiration in the most random things. So if I'm feeling a creative block, no, I'm serious. I will go like do admin work on an Excel, or I'll go take a walk, or I'll go watch a movie, or like whatever it is that's vastly different from what I'm trying to do. Because you can find inspiration anywhere and everywhere, right? And sometimes when you're in your own head, that's why I think collaboration is so important. Because when you're stuck in your own head, you tend to get blocked even more. In terms of the comparison pressure that you're talking about, right? I think one thing that's actually made that easier is social media. Not all artists utilize social media in this way, but see, when I'm putting out a song or a project, right? Last year, for example, I released an album. And then in 2023, the only song I released was Bate. Kind of because we wanted the album to get it the space to breathe, but we have a lot of songs coming out next year, and part of the intention behind that is each of these takes a lot of time and effort and intention to make, right? And there's a lot of people that go into it that most people don't see. Let's say you're collaborating with other songwriters, you have a producer, you have a mixing engineer, mastering engineer. There's just like a huge process that it takes. But I think the beauty of social media as a tool is that you get more direct feedback. It's like a movie, right? From the start of the movie's inception in terms of the concept to the time that people see it, often takes 2 to 5 years, depending on the intricacy of the movie. Similarly with a song, something like Bate, I wrote a year before it was released, right? And so, yeah, because it sometimes takes that much time given everything else going on and other projects you're working on. But what I like to do is make sure that I'm still constantly growing and learning and getting immediate feedback. And I think social media allows for that. So I'll give you an example. Recently, I started a series where I'm doing 50 different songs in 50 different languages for the next 50 weeks. And we are doing a lot of regional languages within India, and we're also doing several global languages. And thus far, I think today we're putting up the 12th one. And the first 10 to 12 have done immensely well in terms of the viewership. Like the first one across platforms, I think has 100 million views or something like that. But it's not about the viewership, really. It's more about that connection, right? And it's been a really fun way to learn about different languages, cultures. I'm, you know, the first one was Marathi, then we did Tamil and Gujarati and like many others. And also we're trying to honor the fashion and the jewelry and, you know, basically the what that culture represents. And I'm making sure collaborating artists are from that region or have identity. So that's a really quick project that you have to execute on to make sure you're doing at least one a week, right? Because there's so much that goes into it. And that's been really fun because sometimes putting pressure in that way helps you create more creativity, if that makes sense. And it helps me get out of the mindset of, oh my God, what if my next song doesn't perform? Because I'm constantly outputting. No, seriously. And I'm constantly learning, right? I get feedback. When you're, especially when you're doing these regional languages, it's really important to get the pronunciations correct. So my brain has been, I remember last week, I think I shot 4 or 5 in a row because I have a lot of other projects. The next couple of weeks, I wouldn't have the time. And my brain was just swirling because one day it was some different phonetics. The other day it was other phonetics and, you know, and I think that's the beauty, right? When you're able to use these platforms to kind of get immediate feedback, you don't have to take it into consideration as like, oh, this is what represents what I am as an artist. But that's the beauty of it, where you don't have to wait so long to see an audience's reaction. You're still keeping in touch with them and building that community, you know?
Makes sense. Truth. I mean, I'm looking forward to listening to most of the songs, especially the ones that I seem to understand. Marathi is one language which I think I can adapt to. But I love this. I love that you're giving yourself space. At the same time, you're pushing yourself to do better. You know, it's like multitasking, but at the same time, making sure that you're not going to burn out. But yeah, it's nice. It's cool. I mean, I love the offline version of you, and because you like the nature like I do, maybe. And genuinely, if I were to give a comment about your music, I seem to really, really like it, especially Bate, because it was all about figuring things out. It was all about exploring. That was beautiful. Would love to have you here with us today. Thank you so much for joining in. Is there something in specific that you'd want for us to know before we can, you know, maybe end the podcast, because we intend on keeping it short and crisp?
No, I mean, I've had such a great time chatting, and so glad you enjoyed Bate, and thank you for your words. We have new music out very soon. It might mark the, all I can say is it might mark the start of the new year or a new beginning. So
looking forward to that, looking forward to that, looking forward to making my January much better than I've imagined for it to be. Okay, thank you for connecting with us, Avanti.
Of course, thank you so much.
Bye. Bye. Have a good day.